are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, and that means it's Winky Wednesday, so let's not waste any time. Let's bring out today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
What's happening, man?
Hey, buddy. Hey, you know, Richard Sherman press conference, Niners signing another offensive lineman, man. Things are good. It's a good day.
Yeah, things are good. We got a little mailbag, got a lot of questions to get to. We'll see how many of those we can tackle. So pretty much the news of the day. And by the way, if anybody ever wants to get in on one of these mailbag segments or just say hi, I'm on Twitter at BD Peacock. Nick is on Twitter at Bay Area Wink, or you can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And of course, rate, review, subscribe to the show. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. We are everywhere. I've seen a lot of new ratings and reviews, actually. I think tomorrow's show, maybe next week's show, we'll bust out some of those reviews because some of them are actually kind of funny.
I can't wait to hear them.
Yeah. So let's go to, I guess, Richard Sherman. That's the news of the day, the Richard Sherman press conference, introductory press conference. Did anything stand out to you from the presser? I don't have any of the audio yet from that, but it was like, first of all, I see the TV.
You look good, right?
It was like, is my TV broken? Who is this dude wearing a 49ers hat? And he's like overdoing it. He's wearing red, wearing the 49ers hat. He's really trolling Seahawks fans, which makes me instantly like him.
Yeah. No, I thought he looked great in that red suit, man. I kind of want to get one. He even said the best quote of the whole day was, "I've won a lot of games wearing red," of course, referring back to his Stanford days. And no. I just love it, man. I think that everything he said so far since he, you know, made the switch to the red and gold, it has been right. You know, he put out that amazing how it all went down. I don't know what you'd call it, but I read the entire thing, and God, he's so well spoken, and just he made a lot of sense throughout the whole thing. And I'm officially now a Richard Sherman fan.
It's crazy. I could see this going. There's two parts of it. So first of all, it's like it's obvious he's the type of guy that you like a lot when he's on your team. And you hate him when he's on the other team, you know. So 49ers fans, the ones that are still on the fence are going to learn to love him, especially if he plays well, because he's going to piss off the Seahawks, if nothing else.
Right.
There's still that one, outcome I see where he could still end up being sort of the villain for the 49ers, and that's if he comes in and he's not fully healthy or he doesn't really recover from that Achilles injury. And look, a 30-year-old corner with a bad Achilles, that could,
sure,
you know, there's a lot of ways that could go wrong. But what if he comes in, he's not the same guy, starts getting beat a lot, and then is talking a lot on top of it and starts acting like a jerk or something like that? Then he could really become the heel again for the 49ers and be like, why do we bring this a-hole in? And then the fans turn back on him. But at this point, I see it going the other direction and being that guy that you're like, okay, I like him now that he's on our side. And let's see him shut down some other receivers, especially in the NFC West and especially the Seahawks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you, even if that does go down, you know, the worst case scenario, it's not going to cost the 49ers much. This contract is so amazing that I love it. I love the way he worked it out, because if you read that, how it all went down, he even talks about it. He's like, a lot of people bashed me for, you know, wanting to do my own contract, but I got a lot out of it. I wanted to prove myself to make this kind of money, you know. And he's like, the 49ers got what they wanted too, some protection in case he knows that he's coming off this injury, and he knows that he's relatively old in football world. And so it just sounds like it's the perfect contract for both sides. He knows it. He knows he didn't, you know, get the best contract that he could have gotten, but it's a prove it, and he wants to prove it. And a lot of people are like, oh, he's doing this just to get back at the Seahawks, and that's not the case. I mean, obviously he was pissed at the Seahawks, but he gave him a shot. He got his contract from the 49ers. He's like, okay, before I sign it, I'm going to give Seattle a chance to match it. And they didn't. And so you got to respect that too, a little bit of loyalty for his old team who just cut him, who didn't even try to renegotiate his contract. It was just like, oh, you got hurt last year, you're getting old, peace out, which is football. You know, we definitely get used to that. But at the same time, like, I just keep falling more and more in love with the player that is Richard Sherman. And yeah, he could trip and fall and really just look like a fool out there. But at the same time, if he doesn't, this could be an amazing signing for the 49ers and for the locker room.
No, I totally agree. That part you mentioned where he was straight up about his contract. He's like, look, I researched contracts, and I thought I knew them well enough, and he was comfortable with what he signed, and that's what matters. And people are weird about contracts, by the way. People pissed off if someone doesn't, quote-unquote, get theirs, and then people get pissed off when people treat it like a business and don't give hometown discounts. So people play both sides of that in the contract. Dude, to be honest with you, I would prefer it if contracts weren't even public.
Yeah, I agree. I like, too, in that thing he mentions, you know, talking about some Seattle fans that are pissed off at him and this and that. And he's like, if you got fired from your job tomorrow and your competitor offered you a job with a better salary, like, you would take it and no one would think twice about it. You know, come on. Like, let's look at this how it really is. You know, it's a business.
Yeah, it's, and I could see why they're mad too, just because, I mean, it's not that he took a job with any competitor. He took a job with the 49ers.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, let's say you work for a TV station, you know, and they fire you and you get a job at the competitor's TV station. Like, no one's going to be like, oh, that guy, he went against his morals. Like, no, he took the best offer available to him. And he talked about sitting down with Shanahan and how he's so impressed with his football knowledge and this and that. And it just, oh, man, any 49er fan out there, I mean it. Take a minute, read how it all went down if you haven't already. It's worth the time.
So I used to work at Walgreens, and I was assistant manager there.
Did Rite Aid offer you more money?
No, CVS offered me more for a management position. I wouldn't take it. I was like, no, I can't do this to my...
I worked at the steakhouse once, and then the other steakhouse offered me more money. I took it, man.
Outback? Are you an Outback guy?
I gave
guy?
Him a chance to match.
Oh, by the way, I
can, I like Outback.
Listener, all the listeners out there and Nick Winkler, I can teach you how to speak with an Australian accent. Are you ready?
How you do that, yeah.
Do you have a pen and paper near you?
Yeah.
Okay, write these letters. Write S-T-I-K-E space E-E-O-U-S-E.
Okay.
Now read that.
Steakhouse.
Yeah. There you go, Steakhouse. You can't go wrong. Just read those. Yeah. Outback Steakhouse. No. All right. So now everyone can speak with the Australian accent.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Okay, where are we at? Oh, here we go. I brought up some of those reviews from iTunes. Mm-hmm. I want to read a couple here. I want to go to Metal Faithful first, because this guy actually had a bad review, which is one of the very few bad reviews we've ever had, but he revamped his review. So he said, eating crow, but happy to do so. I'll be the first to admit I was overly critical back during the Gold Faithful days. I went as far as writing a pretty scathing review, but I kept listening, and now I look forward to my daily fix of Peacock like a teenager looks for Tide Pods. I'm not even sure if that is still relevant, but all I'm saying is I needs the Peacock, and it only makes my day better when the wink busts on the scene. The mix of Niners, NFL, and pop culture come together to form what I can only imagine as a finely crafted German-style sausage, or the best of Pearl Jam album, if you will. There are many podcasts out there, but this one is simply the best around, and nothing will ever keep it down. I give it a 10.
I mean, this one, like the slow claps.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Well said. I mean, that's, he clearly listens. He's bringing in all kind of references. Man, that's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for updating your, if anybody out there did give a bad review, and there's not very many of them, maybe you want to check back in on that and see how we're doing. But no, overwhelmingly great reviews. So I really appreciate those. Here's another one from, and a lot of shout outs to Winkler too, which is cool. Love the podcast. This is from Broker Doker, Brokerito. I don't know what that, whatever. Steakhouse. Love the podcast. Look forward to hearing it every day at the gym. Brian comes with nothing but straight facts, and Winky Wednesdays are always a good for a laugh, plus more information. Keep it up, guys. Go Niners.
It's definitely more information. If it's relevant, who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll continue to bring it.
Let's see. Let's find one more with the Winkler reference. Oh, here we go. This is from SJ Sharks Fan 39. I used to listen to this show when John Lund was hosting. Well, I don't want to. He badmouths the original host, John Lund, a little bit. But I do appreciate him saying, he says, now with Brian, I am listening every day, and I love his insights into the team in a very concise and fun way. Winky Wednesday is always the best podcast. If they wanted to get Nick on as a co-host full-time, I wouldn't mind, because he brings the fun banter and bounces off Peacock really well. Keep up the great work, guys.
Send a message to my wife and see if that's something we can do. No, I appreciate it, man.
She would probably be excited to get you away from her
yeah,
more
she'd
often,
be like,
right?
Oh, I get away from you for an hour a day. Yeah. Hooray.
Can you go out of town to record this?
Yeah. Can you go meet Brian in San Francisco?
Exactly.
Just stay up there.
By the way, do you remember that song, the Metal Faithful review? There was the Karate Kid reference there with the Joe Esposito song, but it also reminds me of Break My Stride. Do you remember that song? It's like a one-hit wonder. I'm trying.
No, that
drawing
the only thing
blank.
That's popping in my head is "Ain't nothing gonna hold me."
Yeah, that's
there.
The one. That's the one. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Is it?
He said, "Nobody hold." Matthew Wilder. That's what it is. I had to look it up. "Break My Stride" by Matthew Wilder.
Oh no.
Such an awesome video. You got to look at this. This guy with his mustache, too. Oh, man. The 80s were an amazing time.
Yeah, they really were. I was a little young for them, but, you know, I definitely
I
see things now, and it's like, oh, yes, I remember my dad wearing that.
I always thought it was like a reggae band doing this song, and it's just some, like, white dude with a mustache.
Mustaches, man. That was so 80s.
It was. Some really good ones. Not quite Hall & Oates level, John Oates level mustache, but it's pretty solid. All right, let's get to the mailbag. You ready?
All right, yeah, rock and roll.
Let's start this mailbag with Victor. He says, do you think Courtland Sutton is the big body end zone weapon we missed last year? Would you like to trade back a few spots and pick him? Courtland Sutton. I could see Sutton being part of a trade back situation.
Sure.
There's multiple scenarios trading back. You trade back a little bit, and I think you're still looking at some of the same guys you'd be looking at number nine. And then if you move back a lot, then I think Sutton would be in the mix. This year is going to be a tough one for the top wide receivers because there's not as many good top wide receivers. So you might have to overdraft some of those guys. So ideally you would take Sutton maybe in the 20s, like late first round, or he would even fall to the top of the second round some years. He's kind of right in that zone that Allen Robinson and Jordan Matthews and some of those guys were in 2014. Those guys might have snuck into the end of the first round in a draft like this, but that was such a deep draft that those guys were steals in the second round. Courtland Sutton might be, you know, I think he's probably a similar prospect as far as grades wise coming out, but he's probably going to be in the first round. He's going to be the first big bodied wide receiver off the board. And, that might price him out of some situations, but late first round, if he's still on the board in the 20s after the 49ers trade down, I'd be all about Courtland Sutton.
Yeah. Especially if you trade down, you get another second round or something, or, you know, maybe 2/3 or yeah, for sure. If the bargain, you know, price is right. Yeah. Pull the trigger.
Or ideally even trading up from that late second round pick and yeah, grabbing one of those guys that maybe has a late first round grade for you that falls into the second round.
There you go. You're thinking.
Here we go. In command. He's going with the negative vibes here. Lakin Tomlinson versus Aaron Donald, Joshua Garnett versus Ndamukong Suh. Talk about it. That's
Well, I mean, the 49ers are clearly thinking about it, you know. They brought in Jonathan Cooper, you know, a former first-round pick. It's just they're bringing in more depth, guys that can, you know, push for competition. You know, that's so important, you know. And I'm sure that the 49ers know that their weak spot right now is guard. But, you know, they're bringing in guys, and they're definitely doing something. You know, that might be something they address too early in the draft. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Hey, the answer to that might be Quentin Nelson.
Yeah,
or it's just going to be a death match. It's going to be all the guys mentioned so far, plus another second or third round draft pick or late round pick. Just, you know, cream rises to the top. See who last year their best guard was Brandon Fusco. He didn't get signed until I think maybe after the draft, right?
He wasn't an
initial signing. So ideally, interior offensive line is where you can draft and develop players and not spend money, not have big name guys. Hopefully Joshua Garnett, former first rounder, plays up to that billing, and you're okay
yeah,
there.
Still out.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough. I mean, those guys are going to be good against good guards anyways. So that's two games a year. Scheme around it, hopefully, you know. Maybe get them tired. Run a lot of outside zone and run some screens and make them run around and then run right at them late in the game when they're tired. I don't know. You can scheme around it a little bit, but, man, that's scary. the Rams are building a monster, man. Two great corners if they do bring in Sue. It's going to be a fun one, man. The Rams are a good football team, and they're probably only going to get better because Jared Goff's probably only going to get better.
Yeah, that's really well said. But again, yeah, we can't, you know, you don't want to overpay or freak out for two games.
Exactly. And you look at the 49ers teams, if they were trying to match up with the Seahawks all these years, and now the Seahawks are completely different team.
Done.
And now you're looking at a completely different thing with another team. So you just got to be as good as you can, do what you think is right for your team, and then worry about those matchups those 2 weeks a year.
Yep.
Mark on Twitter asks, let's see, where is he? Out of players that didn't play last season, specifically Joshua Garnett, Joe Williams, and Pita Taumoipinu, rank in order of likeliness of making an impact this season. Did I forget any other Niners last season who didn't play? Love the show. Keep it up. Thank you, Mark, for the question. Let's see. So for those three names, Garnett, Joe Williams, and Pita. Pita's kind of forgotten because he didn't get on the field and it wasn't a high draft pick either. Let's see. Order of... I'll go first here. Do you want to go first?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. Garnett, Joe Williams, Pita Taumoipinu. Likeness of making an impact this season. I'm going to say Garnett. I think that's the right order. He's already got him in. Garnett, Williams, and Pita.
Yeah, I wrote the same thing. I think they're exactly the same. Garnett has the biggest opportunity because that, I feel, is one of the biggest holes still. And Pita, he was such a wild card coming out of college anyways that, you know, it's, if you can get anything out of him at this point, you know, it'd be a win. And plus, I really feel the Niners might be targeting Harold Landry in the first round there. So that would just push Pita even further down on the depth chart there. And Williams, I mean, I still believe that they saw something in him, you know. Shanahan really wanted that guy, and so I think they're going to give him every chance to make this football team and make an impact.
Garnett, just because he could be a starter week one.
And he's taking all the steps, too. I mean, they wanted him to, like, change his whole body style, and he's doing it because he wants to make this football team and make an impact. I'm with you. I think he might be the starter week one.
I think right now, if you're penciling in the depth chart, he has to be the starter at right guard, and you're not really sure what's going to go on there with the draft. So there's going to be some competition for sure, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't taking first-team reps at one of the guard spots on the first day of camp. Joe Williams is suddenly kind of buried. He's not going to be higher than three on the depth chart on the first day of camp. And with Pita, they've got a lot of bodies there, but that's it's going to be a very good competition for those backup roles. And I still think they're going to draft a player who's going to be either day one, they're expecting to be a sub-package rusher, or to me, with Pita and with a lot of these guys, whether it's Jeremiah Tauschew that they brought in via free agency or Eli Harold and Pita, all three of those guys are kind of built. They're kind of undersized defensive ends. They could play some strong side linebacker. They could play some of that weak side defensive end. They just situational rushers. It's going to be interesting to see how they all are developing in the system and how they're utilized and what position they're actually playing. It could really go in any direction. So Pita could have an impact, but judging by his draft slot and how little he earned time last year, with that being something that the 49ers could have used, I think you shouldn't expect a lot from Pita, but there's a chance for him because he's an athletic dude that, you know, he could surprise.
Yeah, all three of those guys, I think, have, you know, the possibility of breaking out. But yeah, I think he nailed it. Garnett, Williams, Pita.
Joe Williams is the crazy one because Kyle Shanahan was going to lose sleep if they didn't draft him last year.
That's what I'm saying. And then maybe he, you know, he just couldn't pick up the playbook quick enough and, you know, had a little trouble holding on to the football. So, you know, if he addresses those things, he's had a full year. Yeah, he could come back strong, and maybe he does push Breida for some playing time.
Yeah, he could be the number one running back. He could be the guy that wins your fantasy league next year, or he could be not on the roster.
So you're exactly right.
And really,
IR'd again.
Yeah. Reuben Foster, too. Same kind of deal. You know, the charges weren't filed officially this week, so that's good news for Reuben Foster. If he keeps his nose clean from here on out, you know, might get a few games still suspension for, but might still get a slap on the wrist. It's hard to say, but long term, it's still an okay outlook. But then again, there's that he could do something and get cut next week. So
he's definitely shown that he has trouble staying out of trouble.
Right. And I don't even worry about him during the season. I think it's an off season thing when he's off on his own. So maybe they can figure out a better way with structure to get him, you know, around people and, you know, who knows?
You know, Richard Sherman was asked about it too. He was basically said, if there's anything I can do to help Reuben Foster, I'm going to do it. So you got to like that, like an older mentor, a guy who's been around in the locker room. Again, I love the addition. And if he can, you know, have a little sit down with Reuben Foster and help him straighten things out, that'd be fantastic.
I think structure is a big part of it too.
Yeah.
Just knowing the way that Foster grew up and then knowing the way things are at Alabama, I'm sure some things got swept under the rug. He's basically just like, do whatever you want, man. And now it's like, okay, I gotta be a professional now. So that can take a while. And so I can see that being a little bit growing pains, but he can't be screwing up. And it goes back to, that was John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan That was their first draft of being the guys in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And the two times they went outside of, you know, the character stuff, the red flags, yeah. the two times they looked the other way might both bite them. And there's right. a chance that neither one of those guys even make it to year two.
Wow.
And that's so that's why that stuff is so important. And you sometimes you read scouting reports and you hear rumors about a player and you think, oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. But
you know why? Because teams have gotten burnt so many times. They're going to do every bit of background they can on a guy. And if a guy's screwing up, whether it's big or small, you have. And, you know, being a manager, and I've hired people, you don't want that guy who you can't count on.
No, you can't trust. Yeah, you don't want to poison, you know, your entire staff with one person who can come in and really just wreck things. And yeah, I mean, for me, what I really wonder why they haven't tried to bring in a guy like Patrick Willis, you know, somebody who has a great history with the 49ers and somebody who led that life, you know, that straight life that never had a problem, never had a run in off the field, anything like that. Like you bring him in to have a talk with this Reuben Foster kid. You know, I mean, I know last year they had Bowman and maybe they were hoping he could be that guy, but yeah, maybe him leaving had something to do with it. You know, he just kind of Reuben just started thinking, okay, I got this. And
yeah,
found trouble two times again in the offseason.
I don't know.
Yeah. I just want Willis back with the 49ers. That's all.
You just want him around. Yeah,
I do.
Absolutely. Just let him run. Like, just let him run the huddle, the pregame speech, right? Let him
there
do
you
that.
Go. Let's, I like it. Just let him rock around on the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's get to a couple more here from Michael on Twitter. What's the difference between overpaying and making a bad signing? What's a good example of a good signing that was an overpay?
Maybe the Pierre Garçon. I mean, that was definitely an overpay, but I think you bring in that veteran receiver and, you know, you have him teach the younger guys a thing or two and just another, you know, just like we talked about, a great veteran presence in the locker room, right?
Yeah. If this sounds like this is in reference to maybe Jerick McKinnon and him getting more money than you would expect, but what makes it not a bad signing is that it won't affect their cap because they have so much cap space. So yeah, maybe you overpay. Maybe you you wanted this player, and this is like the aggressively prudent part. The prudent was who they're going after, but once they identified the player they wanted, they made it happen. And I think that's what happened with Jerick McKinnon. It's like, look, okay, Jets are offering you what? Nope, we're offering you more because we identified you as the guy we want. You're coming here. And so you paid a little bit more, and as long as he plays well, it's fine because it's not going to affect your cap situation. So that's what makes it maybe an overpay, but not a bad signing, right?
And if he's the guy that Shanahan wanted and they were targeting, there's two positions that I trust more than anything when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, and that's quarterback and it's running back, just based on his track record with guys. And if he that's the guy he wants to fit his scheme, hey, I'm not going to question it.
I totally agree. Quest for a six-pack. You see how he did that there?
Yeah.
A quest for a six-pack on Twitter. Of your guests, they are all kick-ass. Besides Wink, who would you have the most... No. That was... I read that wrong. Of your guests, they are all kick-ass, period. Besides Wink, comma, who would you have the most fun slamming some Sierra Nevada with, or 49ers current former player? And he has hashtag Chico alum. He knows I went to Chico. I actually didn't go to Chico State. Some of my friends did. I went to Butte College. I went to San Francisco State is where I finished up. But yeah, I did live in Chico for about 4 years. And if you're trying to do the math at home, yes, I did. I was there for 4 years, but went to junior college. I did the thing where you go to school for 10 years and you're not a doctor when you're done.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Of all your guests, who would you have the most fun slamming some Sierra Nevada with aside from Wink? Let's see. Ooh, that's a good one. Or former current player.
Ooh.
Well, Justin Smith has a Budweiser tattoo on his arm, so I'm sure... he could put some back.
I don't want to slam Budweiser with him.
I don't want Budweiser. Yeah, he can slam Budweiser as fast as he can. I'll slowly sip some more tasty beverages.
There you
go. John Lynch apparently had, 30 Mai Tais at the Pro Bowl one time?
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think John Lynch would be a fun person to hang out with. Just his intensity. I bet he gets after whatever he's doing, he goes for it, right?
Yeah.
Of the guests I've had, I know back in the day when we did our fantasy baseball podcast, you know, Saris, who does writes about beer. So that would be a fun one to drink beer with. I know Chris Biederman was asking on Twitter the other day where to find some Pliny the Younger. So it sounds like he likes to have some beers. So that would be a fun one. I love
He's
all my guests.
Taste.
They'd all be fun. I actually know that Matt Barrows prefers the wine And I used to work at a wine bar, so I think it'd be fun to have some wine, go wine tasting with Matt Barrows. So go highbrow with Barrows.
There you go. Take the wine train up in Napa or something.
Yeah. Is there any, well, former players too, like Ronnie Lott?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody from back in the heyday, the 49ers, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I know Steve Young's Mormon and all, but I mean, if you wanted to sit down and sip something, I'd love to pick his brain, man.
Lemonade?
Whatever. Maybe sip water. That's fine.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Do we have time for a couple more here?
Yeah, let's rock.
All right, let's do two more. This is an email from Kevin. He says, emailing from Seattle, Washington. Shout out to Kevin, and there is a lot of 49ers fans in Seattle, so I've got to recognize those folks. Would it make sense if the 49ers to move up to 6 and then move down for the Bills pick if Bradley Chubb isn't available? If this is so, would Harold Landry and Josh Jackson be available at those picks? Let's see. Another note, congrats on being a father. You will be a proud man. Let's hope you have a boy so we can see him on Sundays one of these days. Have a happy Winky Wednesday, guys. All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that email. Let's see. Move up to 6. So he's talking about a pre-draft day trade because you don't know who's on the board. You trade up with the Colts to get pick 6. And then if you're sitting at pick 6 and the target you want, in this case, Bradley Chubb, is not there, then you field offers and go back down. I think that's very... I like the idea, but I think the Colts also like that idea, and that's why they like being at 6. So they're going to sit and wait. And so if anything happens, it's going to be the Colts in charge, and they're going to wait to be on the clock and be like, okay, we're going to take our guy we love here because we don't have an offer, or we're going to make someone buy this pick from us.
Yeah, I think it would cost more to move up to 6. And if we're sitting there and the guy's not there and then we want to trade back, we'll be like, oh, they really want to get out of this spot. We can probably fleece them a little bit.
Right, exactly. And so that's just a very unlikely scenario just because the Colts are going to be in charge of pick 6 no matter what. That's going to be a most likely on the clock trade unless someone pays a ton for it beforehand.
I love the idea of moving up to get Chubb, though, you know, even if it costs an arm and a leg.
After a lot of people asked about that on yesterday's episode, so I looked at the trade chart and the 49ers first pick in the third round, pick number 70 overall. If you're just going straight points on the trade chart, that would not be enough to get from 9 to 6.
Right.
So you'd probably have to look at your second round pick.
Yikes.
And now it's, you know, it's a lot to move up just a little bit in the draft. That's why I'm always been a trade down guy. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what they would take. I don't know if that would be enough, that high second or that high third round pick. And if you look at what they got to go from 3 to 6, they got more than what the chart said even.
Right.
So
I'm liking Harold Landry more and more too. So
I could be talked into the best pass rusher that's on the board at 9 and not trading. I would be okay with that. But ideally, you could, you know, at some point, first of all, you need a dance partner, right? You can't just trade down willy nilly and be like, hey, I'm going to go to 13. You have to have someone offer you the deal and it has to make sense. And you can't get too cute to where you're trading around and you're not getting the players that you need and you're missing out on good players.
Right.
And I think that's why you see a lot of the actual draft is so much more insane, especially versus conventional wisdom, because a lot of groupthink ends up happening with the draft, and pretty much all the writers and all the fans and everybody has this one draft board that they're going off of by the time draft day rolls around. And it's so far off from what each individual 32 teams have their draft boards like. So you see things happening like, oh my God, that's crazy. And so the real draft is always crazier than the craziest mock draft you'll see.
Which is why we love it so.
That's why it's so much fun. Absolutely. One more here. This is from Guy on Twitter. He said, I would be happy with Roquan at 9. Him, Foster, Buckner, Thomas would be a very nice run-stuffing front, close to Harbaugh years minus Aldon Smith's pass rush. And, you know, the more I think back about it, the more you realize how important Justin Smith was for Aldon Smith's pass rush. Although Smith was a beast. Both Smiths were beasts. But, yeah, I could get behind that. Roquan at 9. I think there's a very good chance when the 49ers are sitting on the clock at 9, Roquan Smith has the highest grade for me at that spot.
Yeah, I would have no problem taking him. It's just Foster's such a question mark at this point. You know, it scares me.
Do you have? I didn't write it down here, but there was a Twitter question about asking you, Nick, what your pick would be at pick number 9.
Yeah, like I said, I'm really leaning more and more towards Harold Landry. I love the guy's skill set, and I love his confidence too. And you know, it would have to, you know, obviously what's happening in front. It was a lot easier last year. You know, we were sitting at, pick 2? It's a lot easier to be like, this is the guy I like because I know he's going to be there.
Right, exactly. Oh, by the way, speaking of Twitter, Raheem Mostert chimed in on Twitter. There was a post I made about all the speed and the 40 times from the current running back group for the 49ers. And I believe it was Matt Kolsky, who now works at 95.7 The Game. He asked, yeah, but are any of these guys even 200 pounds? And someone else listed all their weights. And they had Raheem Mostert, who ran a 4.34, I believe, at his pro day, had him listed at 183 pounds. Raheem Mostert himself found this thread and chimed in. He said, last time I weighed 183 pounds, I was a sophomore in college. Currently, a solid 208 pounds. So there you have it. From the horse's mouth, Raheem Mostert, 208 pounds. And so I asked, well, can you still blaze that 4.340? His reply, of course.
Nice.
Yeah, so Raheem Mostert, special teams demon, back with the 49ers for one more year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. And yeah, still running 4.3s at 208 pounds.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that is very impressive. And he is a man. He has a burst when you see him on the field.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, no doubt. No, he's a great re-sign.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, let's end it there. What do you say?
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Nick, for joining me once again on the show. You be back next week?
You bet.
All right, cool. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can find Nick on Twitter at Bay Area Wink. Subscribe, rate, review the show. Go to LockedOn49ers.com. And I'll be back with you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.